You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 46.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Tom Epperson. Tom is a strategic intervention coach, international training specialist, public speaker, and author. He has a unique perspective on getting the most out of the midlife experience. On a journey from childhood performer to suicidal teen to international personal strategy coach, Tom has discovered a natural rhythm in life and is passionate about helping people squeeze every drop of meaning, joy, and fulfillment from their midlife experience. Tom is the author of Flying in the Face of Gravity and Micro Victories. Welcome, Tom, to Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Kimberly?
I am wonderful. So I would love to know how you started the Midlife Matrix. What took you down your personal path to start that?
Well, you know, I wrote an article the other day that said we're defined by our accomplishments, but we're refined by our failures. And so I just had a very difficult teen experience. Probably went about as deep down in the hole as you could get in that teenage experience, which was very unfortunate at the time, but it turned out to be great because by the time I was 22, I was ready to receive a spiritual enlightenment. And I really woke up actually much earlier than a lot of people my age because I had been through so much. And so from 22 years on, I was really studying how to understand life and what does life mean and where are the deeper meanings in life? What are the things that really matter most? And I was very, very serious as a young guy and raised my two sons who are now adults and raised them. Interesting that, you know, you are in the mind, body, spirit niche, because that's really what I tried to impress upon them from the time they were little bitty kids. Look, you need to develop all the different aspects of yourself. You need to have a strong body. You need to have a highly optimized mind, and you have to have a mature and well-developed spirit. So then I came to this odd place called midlife, and I realized this whole thing is set to play again. You know, this whole teenage experience is all set to play again if you allow it. But of course, I was in a pretty happy place, and I was in a pretty well balanced place in my midlife years, but it still was there. And so, of course, then I kind of readjusted my study to the topic of the midlife. And I realized that this is really just a piece of the larger picture. Midlife is not some strange thing that comes up out of the blue. It actually occurs in all different cultures all around the world, all different time settings. You know, you can look back 100 years ago or further, and it is a very common thing that in midlife, people begin to ask a lot of questions. And so it led me to realize this is something that's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be a natural part of it, and therefore there must be a purpose. And what I realized is there are really three phases to this. And the first one is the teenage rebellion period, which is, you know, I don't have to say much about that. Everybody knows what that's about. And then the second one is the time when you first leave the nest, get away from your parents, get away from your elders, and start making decisions for yourself. And that brings up a lot of options, right? A lot of choices and a lot of self-reflection. You try to determine who you are. The third step is this midlife thing. And it's supposed to be a forward-looking launch into your next phase. But what happens is sometimes we get stuck looking backward rather than looking forward. And a lot of pain and agony results from that. So I decided I was just going to make it my mission to help people navigate through that space so that rather than destroying everything they had created, they could build upon whatever it was that they had created and launch themselves forward into really what's the best part of life that we'll ever experience, which is the midlife period. This is kind of like the prime of life. The prime of life does not happen in your 20s, I don't believe. I believe it happens in your 50s and your 60s because you're mature, you have connections, you understand how to make a project happen. You just have a lot of resources available to you that you don't have when you're a young person. And so I think this is the best time of life. And my mission is to help people realize that and help people capitalize on that. And especially if people are struggling, to maybe help them refocus a little bit and realize what all they do have at their disposal. And it's been really a lot of fun working in this space and getting to know people from all over the world.
Well, I'm just excited to hear the best years are yet to come.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I'm 55 and things are looking great. So, you know, you've got a ways to go before you're gonna be in this place. But it's a really, really neat experience to be in the midlife stage of your life and be okay with it and actually be excited about it.
That's wonderful. So what were the steps you took to actually turn this into a business, from passion into an actual business?
Well, I was about as reluctant as anybody you could ever imagine in terms of trying to monetize this, because it seems like, you know, I'm one of these do-gooder type people. You know, I want to make the world a better place, and I want to contribute and all this stuff. And people kind of, sometimes I look at people like that and kind of snicker a little bit, but I know a lot of people who really do operate out of that space. They really do have a deep desire to make the world a better place. And that's where I was coming from in my life. And I didn't want to be some kind of a mercenary capitalist type person. And so I was very reluctant to ask for money for anything. Gradually over time, I had to come to adjust that. And it really happened for the first time when I had an opportunity to work in the nonprofit sector. And I said, I don't want to do it because I don't want to take money for it. And the person trying to hire me said, look, I desperately need your help. And I know you can't come help me if you don't get paid. So you have to accept money to do this, because otherwise we aren't going to have your talent and your help. And he just sort of talked me into doing it. And I worked in that space for about 12 years and really had a wonderful experience interacting with people and helping them find their talents and their gifts. So then he encouraged me, you should go out and you should become a public speaker and you would have to promote yourself. And he said that in a very offhanded way. And when he said that, I just cringed inside, you know, promote myself. You've got to be kidding me. You know, I had no desire to do that. But along the way, with some help of some mentors and people helping me adjust my way of looking at things, I realized that if people don't know I'm here, I can't help them. And if people don't know my message exists, then there's zero chance that my message is going to do any good in the world. So I just kind of turned it around and realized marketing is actually a really good thing. And it's not mercenary. It's just a matter of going out and meeting new people and interacting with new people. And I'm totally comfortable with that. And I actually really love it now.
I love that you bring that up, because I find that amongst my clients in the mind, body, spirit community, that is the hardest thing, is for them to take money for it. We're like, I'm still trying to work through. And I think that's actually my next book, is about the energy of money, and it's just energy. So why are we so nervous to take in energy? And we can't give what we don't have. So we should be taking it in as much as possible.
Yeah. And a question that I've begun asking people is, have you done all the good that you can do in the world? You know, and just for just about everybody, the answer to that question is no. And then the next question is, if you had more money, would you do more good? And that seems to help people get over that a little bit and go, well, you know what? Yes, actually, if I had more money, I would do more good. Well, then why would you not want to have more money? And I think that that's sort of how I worked my way through it. And in sharing that with some other people, I think it does help a lot of people who are in this mindset that I don't want to take from the world. I just want to give to the world. But the reality of it is you can't give away what you don't have. And somebody is going to be controlling that energy. That the money, it really is energy, and it permeates the world. And either good people are going to be controlling that, or very negative kind of ill intent people are going to be controlling that. And so I would much rather have really good, well-meaning people in control of money so that they can do good and well-meaning things with it.
Fantastic. So now you mentioned your uncomfortableness initially with promotion and marketing. So how did you overcome that? That you were going to, and what were the steps you took to do the promoting of yourself?
Okay, well, a couple of different questions there. I guess the real thing was, how do you get over this word promotion? Because I was on stage from a very young kid. I was performing music live at 8 years old, and I pretty much did that all through my life. And so to me, promotion meant, you know, you're out there pushing the group or whatever, trying to become a rock star or something like that. And I was very uncomfortable doing that with this stuff of mine, which this is much more important, and it's holy and it's sacred, and I'm trying to help people with it. So just did not fit. But then what I realized is I love people. I really love people, and I love interacting with people. Everywhere I go, I meet people, and I just relish that. You know, it's just fantastic to meet new people, and every person has an amazing story. But marketing really is just getting to know more people. It's just going out and enlarging your circle of people that you interact with. And who wouldn't want to do that, you know? So when I think of it in those terms, it's all relationship building. Then I love it. You know, there's nothing negative, or I like your term, icky. There's nothing icky about it. It's great because you're just creating more relationships, and they're meaningful relationships because you're trying to do good work together. And so, you know, I'm 100% comfortable with it, and I really love it.
Yep. And we're all, you know, if we're just trying to make everyone feel better and providing a solution, then if we can help anybody, right, that's the key. That's the best feeling when you know you're like, I helped someone and now they succeeded. It's such a great feeling.
Yeah. And, you know, the bottom line is whether we realize it or not, and many people do not, but I imagine most of your listeners do realize this, we're all here trying to mean something. You know, we're trying to accomplish meaning in our lives. We don't want our time here to be wasted. We don't want it to be non-contributing. And so the more people we can interact with, the more people we can touch, and the more those ripple effects go out. And, you know, it's just really a very nice thing. It's a beautiful thing. And so marketing to me now has a very warm and fuzzy sound to it. It doesn't sound icky to me at all. It sounds very, very comfortable. And you know, I'll actually spend most of my time marketing, trying to figure out how I can reach more people. And I don't feel bad about it. I feel fantastic about it.
That's great. So speaking of reaching people, so who is your ideal client and how are you going about reaching them now?
Well, my ideal client, obviously, I'm looking for people who are kind of in the same stage of life as I am, in their middle age years, or somebody who knows those years are right around the corner and would like to prepare. That's fine. I really prefer working with people who are entrepreneurs because that's the space that I operate out of. And I really think entrepreneurs are important for the world because they're the ones who they really, truly are the movers and shakers that make things happen for good or for ill. And so I try to work with very positive people who have an entrepreneurial mindset. And if they happen to be at an age where they can understand my jokes because I'm making reference to something that happened when I was a teenager, then great.
Right. You need to be able to resonate with them.
Right. Exactly. So.
And what's the marketing strategy that works for you best right now with those clients?
Well, I have to be honest with you. Most of my marketing has to do with relationship building. So just like being on this radio show with you today, podcast, I'm building a relationship with you. We've already had a few minutes together. We've laughed. We've had some fun. So there's a relationship forming there. And in trying to promote my business and my books, I've established relationships with people all over the world, not literally in every country in the world, but I do have people in all the different hemispheres that I have relationships with. And when I did my book launch, I had a lot of people, international people, that helped me. And it just is a really cool thing to meet people from all around the world and know that they are kind of trying to do the same things that I am. And by partnering together, we become much more powerful than we would be if we work on our own. So I love things like joint venture projects. Like, for instance, I'm getting ready to do a live event in February. It's going to be a fantastic 3-day event at a very nice resort. And I'm looking for JV partners that would like to do a webinar with me. And I'm very generous with making sure they get a good portion of whatever ticket sales we have and all that. And it can become very lucrative for them. It helps my cause. But because it's lucrative for them, it helps their efforts. So it's a really nice marriage of relationship and marketing and business. It's great. So that's my favorite.
That's so fantastic. I always say there's no more competitors. Everyone's just a complimentor. And we work together. It's so beautiful. And you can do
so
much more.
I love that word. Really? That's a nice word.
Right? We're all complimentors. I love that. I think I need to coin that or something.
Yeah, I think you maybe just did.
So when you're doing your live events, are you, this is going to be more of a technical marketing question, but how are you turning those people watching you into clients?
Well, my live event actually is not going to be a sales tool. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be a real training weekend. It's going to be about building your team and making yourself more effective as an entrepreneur. And it'll apply to a solo entrepreneur. It'll also apply to people with small companies that have some employees, or a solopreneur that has a support team around them. And if they don't, we'll talk about how they can build a support team around them. But I'm really not trying to sell anything at the event. I'm going to try to sell the ticket to the event, and it's going to be very reasonably priced. Considering where it's at, it's going to be amazingly priced. But it's going to be mostly just about really studying and learning and relationship building. And I'm not going to be pitching things from the stage, really.
That's fantastic. It's sometimes just such a great thing to go and just take in information, and then the pressure's off, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, you talk about icky, I really am uncomfortable with that part where you're in the live event and all of a sudden it turns to the sales thing, and it's like, okay, now you got to get your wallets out. I'm still not to a place where I'm really that comfortable with that approach. So I prefer to be upfront with them and say, look, I'm going to charge you enough to get into the event that I will make a profit, and nobody should be offended by that because we're all entrepreneurs, but I'm going to be very, very reasonable and what I expect to be paid for this. And then that week, it's just going to be cram-packed with really solid information. And I was really surprised because when I first started planning the event, I've done presentations at other people's live events multiple times, but this is my first time to do it solo. And I thought, do I really have enough material? And when I sat down with my little team and we started working this out, the problem was not, do we have enough material? It's like, what are we going to leave out? Because we can't possibly fit all of this into. And that was really astounding to me to realize that. So it's going to be crammed from the floor to the rafters with really high, solid information, and then some fun and relaxation built in because we're going to be at this amazing resort.
Nice. Very nice. And it's a good problem to have when you're trying to figure out what information to leave out.
Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, I didn't see that coming at all. I thought I'd have the opposite problem, but it's good to know because that means I have enough to do another event later that's a, number two, So right. it's going to be really, really neat.
Fantastic. Well, good luck on that. And I'll say this to my listeners, if anyone's curious, we'll make sure we post that on the website so people can come take a look and see what you're doing.
Yeah, and if anybody would like to do the JV thing with me and host a webinar with me to your list, we can certainly talk about that.
Fantastic. So are you using social media very much to help build those relationships?
When I saw that, I knew that was going to come up, and I thought, oh, geez, I'm probably like the worst guy to talk to about this. So do I do social media? Yes. Do I do social media well? Not really. I don't do it very well. But I'm in there and I'm digging it. I like it, but my issue is time management. you know, and I haven't got to a point where I figured out how to turn it over to someone else because it seems like it's supposed to be such a personal thing. But the reality of it is, as entrepreneurs, we work long hours and it can be very difficult to sit down and spend the time doing the posts. So basically what I do a little bit of Twitter. I do try to do Facebook pretty well with a personal page and also a page that promotes my book. But at times it seems like it doesn't have any traction. Lately though, I have been getting some good results driving people from Facebook to my website. But interestingly enough, again, the success I'm having is surrounding a relationship type event, like a guest speaker coming to do a teleseminar with me or a webinar where I'm hosting a guest speaker. Those kinds of things, I have good luck driving traffic and people will opt in to be at that event. So it goes, for me, it goes back to relationship building again. So I find that very interesting. But yeah, I'm a very serious student of social media. I'm just not the most proficient person in the world, but you know, it is an important part of the plan.
It is. I'm going to say, you know, I get it. I'm teaching people how to do this. I am terrible with my own social media.
Yeah. Do you find that it's about time management?
It's such a love-hate relationship. I know it's something that has to be done, but you're right. I want it to be personal. I want it to be from me. I don't want somebody else posting. And then it's like, I'll set it up for a day or so. And then like, I'll skip a day. And I'm like, oh crap, I totally forgot to go post.
Yeah, I know that pain.
I don't know what to do about that.
Yeah. So now, I think, you know, for me, I'd rather have it be real and not be quite as present than to have it be like in their face all the time, but it sounds like it could be written by anybody or something. I don't like that.
So. Yeah, well, I hear you. Thank goodness for the little memes, though. That saves me. Little pictures with quotes. I don't know what I would do without that.
Yeah, well, those are great, though. I mean, and you know what? People like those. It seems like they like those about as much as anything.
I know. Isn't
that funny? And pictures of cats.
And my dog. They love pictures of my dog.
I've got dogs, and the puppy pictures are always a winner. That's for sure.
So, now, I know you're an author of a couple of books. We have Flying in the Face of Gravity, which I love, and Micro Victories. Tell us a little bit about the books and then the process you went through. Did you self-publish? Did you go with a publisher? And the trials and tribulations that you went through to get those done.
Sure. So Flying in the Face of Gravity is kind of like, that's my big book that I wrote on for about 50 years. You know, when I was in fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher said, Tom, you really have got to be a writer. You should be a writer. And so all these years later, you know, 40 years later, whatever, I finally published this book. But it's a 300-page book. It's a very serious effort on my part. Not serious as in the content matter, but I really tried to make it a book that would contribute to people. And I'm super happy that now that it's out there, it's getting 5-star reviews and people are contacting me and saying, you know, this really changed my life. This really came to me at a time when I needed it. And I can't tell you how that feels. That's just amazing to hear people say that. You know, I had a guy the other day tell me, I read this book, I gave it to my wife to read, and I'm buying 2 copies for my kids who are in their 20s because I think it would help both of them. You know, it's just so great. I don't make that much money off of an individual book selling, but the payback of having somebody say that is worth $1 million, you know, because that's what I set out to do, is impact people. So the book is having a lot of impact. And, you know, it's a 300-page read, so it's not something that you sit down and do in an afternoon, but it's got a lot of depth, and I'm really, really proud of it. The Micro Victories book is it's the prequel. I wrote it after Flying in the Face of Gravity, but I thought, you know, I really want to set up this book a little bit. So this is just like a little 80-page ebook that is sort of a setup to the bigger book. Because I know 300 pages can be intimidating to some people. And I wanted something maybe a little bit more accessible that would set it up a little bit. And that's what Micro Victories is about. And it focuses a little bit more on the midlife aspect.
That's great. Now, did you self-publish those or did you go the traditional route?
I did. I self-published through CreateSpace. I had a really fantastic experience with it. I took a course. I don't know if you want me to name the name of the course.
Sure, why not? Passing information out.
You know, we all know about Chicken Soup for the Soul and Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus. We might not know that all of those guys had the same publicist.
Yeah.
And Steve Harrison is the publicist for all those guys. And he and Jack Canfield together, Jack being Chicken Soup for the Soul guy, they put out a program called Bestseller Blueprint. And it's really a phenomenal program if you're an author. I highly recommend it. So that's what I use. And it helped me get the book done that had taken me all these years to try to get done. And it turned it into a much, much better book than it would have been if I'd have been working on my own. And it gave me some great ideas on how to market it and get it out there. So that's how I came to write it. I love CreateSpace. You can put your book up there, and within 2 days, it's available to people. If you want to make a change to it, you can go in and change the text and republish in 2 days again, you know, so... It's really a phenomenal thing that can happen, that's available to authors now in this day and age.
It's so powerful. It really is so powerful that we are in control of what we do with that. And it's really nice. And yeah, I just saw Jack Canfield speak a couple of weeks ago and I got all inspired.
He's an amazing guy. He really is.
He really is.
He's got a 500 million books sold. That's a lot of books.
This is just, when you think about it, it's just mind blowing. You're just like, wow, how many? How did you do that? And it was just perseverance. I'm reading his Principles for Success, and he talks about how he did it. And that is amazing.
I have that book sitting right in front of my face right now. Not kidding, I'm staring right at it.
That's great. I'm almost done with it. I'm like, I got like, I don't know, a few more chapters left, but it's been fantastic. I can't believe I hadn't read it before.
Oh, it is. It's a fantastic book. It's just amazing. So, yeah. So in terms of, now you ask me, what are the trials and tribulations? I'm really hesitant to even share this, but I think because we are trying to help people, I'm going to share it anyway. And this is a big transparency moment here for me. So, be gentle with me, but you know, I read all about how to launch a book and how to launch for a bestseller. So I spent a lot of time networking and trying to meet people. And for my book launch, I set up a webinar where I had 12 luminary speakers from around the world, 7 different countries, come together all one night, be present at this. And each of them were going to answer the question, if you had someone very close to you that said, what do I need to do to be successful? And you only had 5 or 10 minutes, what would you tell them? And so I thought, God, I can't wait to share this with people. You know, it's going to be so exciting to hear people from New Zealand and Australia and Italy and Romania and Spain and Ireland. And, you know, I just thought it was the coolest thing. And I still do. I still do think. And they all came together and each of them promoted it to their list. So we had I know we had over 500,000 people that were on the, signed up to, they were going to come to this event. I don't know what happened to this day, but there was a glitch. We got floods and floods and floods of emails. I tried to get on your webinar and I couldn't get on.
Oh no.
Oh gosh. It broke my heart because these people, they laid down some amazing things, really wonderful nuggets of wisdom. And I'm going to put those up on my website so that they're still accessible to people, even though they weren't there live, because they're really powerful nuggets of success from some really successful people. But it did not launch the book to be a bestseller. So, you know, you just, when you get something like that happens, you just sit down and you just, I don't know, you cry for a few minutes and then you dust yourself up and you get back up and go again, you know? But sometimes even with the best of intent, things don't work. The message there is this. I have recordings of these amazing people who said these amazing things, and I can share those with the world. I have these friendships with people in all these different countries now that I have met and cultivated through this process. I wouldn't have that if I hadn't gone to that effort. So even though it didn't accomplish my primary goal, probably a bigger and more valuable goal is that I got to know all these wonderful people and heard these wonderful messages, and now I have those relationships. And, you know, I know I'm going to be going and doing more things with each of those people. And so it's really fantastic. Even though it didn't achieve my primary goal, it's fantastic. And the big payoff still is my book is out there, and my book is out there touching people. And that makes me very happy. So,
so
there you go. You know, and Jack Canfield took 14 months to get his book to be a bestseller.
I'll say this though, I think you might have another book there. Put together all those people in one book with what their 10-15 minute story is about success. I think you might have another book.
Actually, that's a great idea. I had not thought of putting that into a book, but of course I have thought of trying to come up with another way to
present all that, but I wasn't thinking in written form. So that's a really, that's actually a great idea. I'm really glad I came on this podcast. That's fantastic.
Thank you, Kimberly. You're welcome.
You are amazing at what you do, I got to say.
Thank you.
Seriously, that's great. That's a neat idea.
You're like, oh my goodness, I have to go do that now.
Yeah, exactly. I got to go. I don't really have time for this now. I got to go start my project.
So what has been your greatest marketing challenge that you have faced?
Well, I think we already kind of touched on it. It was just that reluctance of getting out there. And I had to get to that place where I understood that it was about building relationships. Once I had made that turn, all of a sudden it became very easy, and not just easy, but pleasurable.
That's key. That when it starts, because I think we're all nervous. And I know it took me forever to, you know, you go to these conferences and you've got to go say hi to somebody. And I would, got to get up out of my chair. And I think especially in the mind, body, spirit community, a lot of people are a lot of introverts. And I think it's really hard to be that. But once you start talking to people, you realize how cool it is. I meet the neatest people. And now I just love it. And I'm like, hi, this is who I am. And they're like, who are you?
Yeah. But isn't that fantastic? And then every person you meet is another amazing story, you know?
So once
you realize that, you get eager to go out and make that next relationship. And that's really all that marketing is you're out there trying to meet new people and make new friends.
Absolutely. So what now, as an entrepreneur and have built your business, what is the one piece of software you could not live without?
Interesting. The one piece of software I couldn't live without. Well, I'm a little bit old school. So, you know, like in terms of tracking stuff, I work a lot with Excel. I track a lot of my own stuff with spreadsheets and do things like that, which would now be considered very old fashioned. But I do love my autoresponder. GetResponse is who I use. I connect that with my website. And I really love that. That's more of an app, I guess, than I don't know if that's what you were thinking
of.
But that's like my favorite thing in the world. I love my website. I love working with my website. I love what I can do with GetResponse, and it's a neat way to engage people, and it's super user friendly. I'm not a techie guy. Like, my son has a computer science degree and my other son has a math degree, but I just am not that guy, you know? And so to me, this is something that I've had to grow to be comfortable with, but I really love working with GetResponse. It's so easy and it's so intuitive. And it really puts a lot of power at your fingertips. So I guess that would be the number one thing if I had to say one thing.
Fantastic. I love to hear what people are using because there's so many different options. And it's nice to give, you know, let people know what works. And someone's thinking about, what am I going to use? And they'll have a good idea. That's great. Now, we already talked about Jack's Principles for Success. We can't say this one, but what book is like part of your library or go-to? What is the one book, and it could be maybe two, because I think this is a really hard question for people, that you couldn't live without?
Oh my gosh, my one book I couldn't live without. You know, I don't know, because I'm a voracious reader, and I just love to read. Last year I had a goal to read 50 books. My goal was to read 50 books in 2013, and I didn't make it, but I read 35 books and I wrote 2 books. So I gave myself a break and said, that counts. That's good enough. This year I'm doing something different. I'm going back and reading a lot of the really long books that I've tended to avoid because they are, you know, they're kind of intimidating, the 1200 page books, you know, so I've read several of those this year and I really love them. But in terms of kind of like my success, you know, success Bibles, if you will, obviously scripture to me is very important because I'm heavy on the spiritual part. I'm not of the type of person that likes to tell somebody else what to believe. So I don't really ever lead with that, but spirituality is super important to me. And so obviously I like to read anything that is spiritual in nature, but in terms of my success books, my all time greatest success books would have to be the Success Principles with Jack and Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. Those are both really standard, tried and true, major books that, to me, just you have to have those or you don't have the full picture.
Yeah, those are two of my favorites as well. we're on the same page.
Yeah, no, they're just fantastic. And really, you think, well, if people could read those, they could find their way through without our help, you know, but the reality of it is those books aren't for everybody. They're pretty intimidating. Both of them are big, thick, bulky books, and they're intimidating. So one of the things that I've had people tell me is, I think that you took a lot of those big, thick, intimidating books and you boiled them down and you gave me like the main principles in an easier, mine's a very storytelling kind of book. And so I hear the comment that yours is very accessible and yet it still has those really important nuggets. So I hope, you know, I hope there's a space for it in the universe. I think there is. And, you know, I just, but I owe everything to authors like those guys.
Now I'm going to have to go pick up your book.
Well, I'd be very honored to send you a copy.
I'd love it.
but I would love to have some people go read my book. And you know something, here's a marketing thing that not everybody knows. I just learned this last weekend at a Steve Harrison conference, actually. I learned that if somebody goes on and clicks, yes, this review was helpful on Amazon, that's like, it powers up that review. Amazon gives that the next power factor.
So if
it's a 5-star thing and 5 people have said that it was helpful to them, even if they didn't buy the book, it launches the book a lot. So I would love it if people would just go read my reviews and click, yes, this was helpful. That would be huge. It wouldn't cost them a dime. So that's something that I didn't know. And maybe there are other people listening that are not aware that that's the truth.
That's a great tip. We forget about that one. But yeah, that's a great tip. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So now looking back at your journey, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently knowing what you know now?
Wow. You know, asking somebody that's 55 years old, that's a big question. There are so many things. You know, I don't know. I have made a few really amazingly good choices in my life. I married the right girl. I fell in love with this girl when I was 18 years old and she was 17. And she's still with me today. And she's hung with me through all of that. We've been married 35 years.
Wow.
So I wouldn't change that.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
thank you. It's an amazing blessing. And I know it's very rare. And I'm just very, very grateful for that. I think gratefulness is very important in the mind, body, spirit balance. Gratefulness is huge. So I try to remain super grateful for that. And also, I think the fact that I chose to put a lot of things on the back burner in order to really serve my kids and be present for them, that was huge, because they both turned out to be amazing men, and now they're starting to really come into their own, and I have grandkids now, and life is just awesome. And so I'm really grateful that I did that. So those are a couple things that I did right. In terms of what I did wrong, I could just go on and on and on for hours. You know, but I think one thing I would have done, and this might be helpful to somebody out there. One thing I would have done is I would have gotten this silly book written much sooner. You know, I would have just gotten it done. I would have found a coach. I would have found a mentor. I would have found something and found a way to get that book done. Because once you have the book done, it opens up all kinds of doors for you to be able to, let's see, come on podcasts and things like that. No, I wouldn't be on this podcast if I hadn't written that book.
Right.
So getting the book done is really important, and it doesn't have to be perfect. It's got to be really, really good. What Steve Harrison says is they don't care if you're self-published, but when they read it, it better read as well as any of the books on the New York Times bestseller list. Because people are very forgiving. They don't care who published it nowadays. There's not a stigma around being self-published. There is a stigma around not being well edited. So I would say editing is very key.
Yes.
But get the book done. You know, don't procrastinate or hesitate. And the other thing is, if you feel a gift within you and there's a thing inside of you that's saying you need to go serve humanity in this way or that way, act on that. Don't let a decade go by while you're trying to get ready. Just take a tiny little step forward into the unknown and see what happens. Magic will unfold for you.
Such fantastic advice. So where do you see yourself going from here? What's your next step in building your platform?
Well, I'm just really concentrating on this live event. You know, I'm going to, of course, I continue to talk about the book at every opportunity, and the book's going to grow into a bestseller over time rather than overnight. But I kind of am okay with that, because, you know, the key is that you've touched a lot of people. The live event thing is huge for me because I really love to interact with a room full of people And I like to use a lot of humor in my teaching. So it's just something I'm really looking forward to doing. And so right now I'm trying to make the jump from being the guy who's hired to go present at other people's conferences to being the guy who's hosting the conference. And I'm super excited about it. So that really is the next step for me.
That's fantastic. And that's a huge step too. So that is, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Any last bit of advice to someone who is, and I think you kind of already hit it, but I'm going to ask the question just in case we miss something. Any last bit of advice to someone who's thinking about starting a business that's going to take them and follow their life passion? Any last little golden nugget?
I would just say, here's a great thing. I don't know where this came from, but it works like this. You go do that thing that you're terrified of, and then later the courage comes.
So
that's
true.
What I would say. Just go do it. Take the step. It doesn't have to be a leap. It can be a tiny little step, but go in the direction that that voice is leading you, and you will receive the courage and the support, and you'll be amazed. People will rally around you and support you once you go out and start trying to do good things in the world.
It's so true. Support comes out of the woodwork when you start doing great things. It's fantastic.
Yep.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time and your incredible information. This has been absolutely lovely. I'm glad I gave you a fantastic tip.
No, really, you made my day. I wasn't intending on something like that, but that's huge, you know? That's really fantastic. So I appreciate you very much. I appreciate what you're doing in this mind, body, spirit space. That's awesome. You're using your background. That's a unique background. Not very many people have what you have. And the fact that you're using it in such a positive and empowering way is just fantastic. So I honor you for that. And I thank you very much for having me on as a guest.
Thank you so much. And I'd love to remind my listeners that if you'd like more information on this podcast and getting maybe a transcript of it, you can text MINDFUL to 5885. That is MINDFUL to 58885. Or head on over to the website, which is mindfulmarketingshow.com. You can see all about Tom and what he's doing and all the other guests he's been on. And we will see you soon. Until then, have a beautiful day.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.